This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
It is hour number two of the Diehards here in Beantown at the Pepe compound.
Yeah,
20 minutes
right,
south of Boston.
I told you, it didn't take me 20 minutes to get here, and I live in Boston.
So, hour number one, we do the Beantown Rundown, the highest rated segment on the program. Well, skyrocketing to number two highest rated segment and coming close to the Beantown Rundown. We started this a couple weeks ago, Linehan.
Yeah, what do you got?
We had the Mark Linehan shout-out time.
Oh, boy. Yeah, last week we had a good one, right?
I think the first time we started was your friends in New Hampshire.
Yep.
Zippy, Chippy,
Zippy and Chrissy. Yep.
Chrissy,
yeah,
and the
listening.
Whole crew.
Yep.
They're listening.
Yep.
So, what's up, guys? Then we had your family milking goats.
Yep.
What was that all about, by the way, again?
Yeah, my niece, who lives in Maine on a farm. You can see that with me. They have goats. They have milking goats.
Old Linehan had a farm.
There you go. E-I-E-I-L.
Okay, so you did that shout-out.
Yeah.
And again,
I think I'm running out of people that are listening.
Then the ratings went through the roof.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the
I've got coaches everywhere listening.
The second highest rated segment, and it's peaking the Beantown Rundown. It might overtake it.
Yeah, we've got...
It is shout-out time from Mark Linehan. And by the way... Andrew Carlson, our producer running Rock and Roll Control in Houston, tell Michael Carroll, who does all the imaging and the production, like makes us sound good, like all those things that come back.
Yeah.
We need some type of Mark Linehan shout-out, like production elements.
All kinds of things.
Because they're like, da-da-da!
I got people at the bookstores right now putting things up protecting Ian's book. I told the easy way to get it.
Okay, so who's the shout-out to?
I think I'm going to have to keep it to my family today. I got my sister listening, who just became a grandmother.
So this is the sister we like, by the way.
Yeah, the other one sucks. We don't talk to her. I got a couple of football coaches who made anonymous, one up in Middleton, Massachusetts.
All right. What's up, coach?
Yeah, he's listening. We've got coaches all over the place listening.
Well, speaking of coaches, Linehan.
Yeah, we got a good one coming up next.
Guess who's
good
coming up next? Yeah. It is our favorite segment, my favorite segment anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
The Diehards Coaches Corner, the assistant coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, linebackers coach, Mike Dawson, friend of the show. Well, he's friend of Linehan's. We're going to get into all that coming up next.
He's
all
right.
I want winners. Here we go.
Welcome back to the Diehards.
Hello.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
You play to win the game.
Time for the Diehards Coaches Corner.
Playoffs?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah, I've already covered this.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Just keep matriculating the ball down the field, boys.
What the hell's going on out here?
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Put me in, coach.
What an awesome open. Love it. Welcome back to the Diehards, SB Nation Radio. Linehan, Pepe in Boston. We're going to hop to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Joining us on the line, the assistant coach, the linebackers coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Mike Dawson, friend of Mark Linehan, which we need to start right off the bat. How are you friends with Mark Linehan? Hey, coach, welcome to SB Nation Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me. And friend is a loose term.
off the bat.
Linehan, what is the story with coaching you? Come on, give us the
Coach
story.
Dawson. Coach Dawson, I've known for a long time, probably 20 years, coach. I think I remember day back in the old baseball tab, and I think I sent you home with a souvenir for your wife, an autographed baseball.
Yeah, that helped me out a lot.
How fast did she throw that at your head?
They didn't have radar guns back then, but he would have been done. Nah, coach has been a great guy, great coach. He's one of those guys that just, you know, it's what we want to talk about. Pep, you know, he's been around, he's done the circuit.
Sure.
You know, he was in the NFL last year. He's in Lincoln, Nebraska right now. First of all, how are things going in Nebraska there, Dawson?
Yeah, they're great. This is my second stint here in Lincoln, and it's a great city. I'm really excited to be back with Coach Frost and the Cornhuskers. It's a great great program, a lot of tradition. Very, very excited to be a part of it.
You know, you with Coach Dawson, and you were in the NFL with Coach Kelly in Philly. Then you went to, you know, UCF with Frosty, to Nebraska with Frosty. You went back to the NFL. You're kind of bouncing around there like witness protection with the Giants. Then back to Nebraska. I know you got a wife and a young kid, Frankie. That, you know, how's it been for you in the past few weeks? I was talking earlier today. Tell us about how the transition's been from moving to the big city to the cornfields, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's certainly not how I would have drawn it up as far as moving back and forth goes. And four moves in 5 years can wear anybody out. So they're probably both ready to about kill me at this point. But they're happy that we're back. My son is 12. This is his eighth move. He's lived in seven states. A lot of resiliency that it takes from him to be able to do that, especially being a middle schooler starting again. So we're lucky that even though he's has to start again, it's a place he's familiar with. He'll know a good number of the kids as he starts school, hopefully here in the fall, and all that stuff. So that's a big piece of it. And it takes a lot also from my wife to be out that set up three houses in 3 years and four in the last 5 years, and get ready to move out or sell houses or having the show. It puts a lot in those guys.
I'm surprised you didn't keep one of those. I'm surprised you didn't keep one of those houses for herself.
I think it was closed a couple times. We're down at UCF, and I got to tell a 10-year-old with season-long Disney passes and Universal passes, playing on a bunch of baseball teams, and a girl from Philadelphia, hey, not only are we going to leave this place in 82 degrees and sunny every day, but oh, by the way, we're moving to the Midwest, going to Nebraska, where none of the three of us had ever been before. So that was a hard sell right up until we got out here. Once we got out here and got around the people and the community, it was easy after that. This place sold itself. It was awesome.
Hey, Coach, talk a little bit about the Nebraska Cornhusker fan base. Obviously, they're diehards. The name of our show is the Diehards. Talk a little bit about that crazy fan base that lives and dies with the Cornhuskers.
Well, I think that I've coached in some of the biggest media markets, certainly in the country, between being in Boston and Philadelphia and different places. But the fan base here is just amazing. And it's the attitude and the persona of it is what makes it even more special. I've heard from numerous guys that I've coached either with or against that have played here as an opponent and talk about how awesome the fan base is here, how they, much they respect the game. They know good football. They know lousy football. And when you're playing good, hard football, they respect that and appreciate it, even if you're an opponent. Now, they're diehards, just what you said, with the Cornhuskers and the Big Red. And, the thing that's really neat to me, being able to witness and watch it, the spring game with 85 to 90,000 people. And every single game, it's not like they're here for the tailgate and they're going to trickle in partway through the first quarter. They're in the seats. They're ready to go before the team comes out of the tunnel, and they're staying win or lose by a lot, by a little, whatever it is. They're staying till the end of the game. They're going to watch the whole entire thing. And the thing that you can put all that stuff together, but they're really, really intelligent football fans. They know when it's right. They know when it's wrong, and they expect greatness, and that's what they're used to.
Got a lot of Giants fans around here, believe it or not. Not anymore, but I mean, bouncing back last year, kind of a tough year, a lot of injuries, young team. What do you think about, what are the prospects for that club coming up this next season, if there is one?
Yeah, I think that, let's hope all our fingers crossed on that. And, obviously it's a storied, great program, and it was awesome to be a part of it, even though it wasn't as long as I had hoped or the outcome that I had hoped. But there's a great young nucleus on that team that are not only special players, but great, great men as well. And Saquon and Daniel and the guys are there starting to build that team around. So I hope nothing but the best for them. Great program, great organization, and was thrilled to be a part of it.
Transitioning now, you get back into coaching college football. One thing you didn't have to do, obviously, in the NFL was recruiting. How has that changed a little bit in the year, and especially with the way things now with the quiet period and shutting things down? And I guess the question we ask all the coaches is, how's your Zoom game?
My Zoom game, it took me a long time to kind of, work the ins and outs of it. I'm not going to sit here and say that I was a genius from the beginning, but once I figured out that if you're the host, you can mute whoever you want.
Yeah, you can.
then my game got, I got to bring it to another level. So I can probably speak for most coaches right about now and say with confidence I am zoomed out. I've had enough of that for a while, and looking forward to the hopefully the time where we get this thing open back up and just get to be around. There's nothing like being around the guys and getting a feel for that. So that will be much better. But the recruiting piece is what it is. There's pros and cons. I've said it all the time. It's not necessarily my favorite part of coaching, but it's something that you got to be able to get the right guys. You become a much better coach when you got really good players. And the one thing that I am looking forward to jumping back into, and the part that I've really relished this year in the recruiting, is that you get an opportunity to pick your own players, and you get to it's on you to get the guys. Yep. That's the difference in the NFL. There's a separation. There's a personnel department, and that's their game and their job, and they have to have a part of that. So, or they are the ones that run that. So you don't really have as big a stake in it. Now this, it's solely on their coaching staff, and you got to do a good job with it. So, it's been fun kind of getting back into the groove with that, and truthfully, a little bit better than I thought, and it's probably because we've had to had the opportunity to spend a lot more time on it with the way this thing's been shut down.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Joining us on the Progressive guest line here on SB Nation Radio with the diehards, Anthony Pepe. Mark Linehan is the assistant coach, linebackers coach for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Mike Dawson's on the line. Hey, coach, we don't ask the hard-hitting questions, as you know, because I'm with Linehan. We kind of keep it very loose, so you can tell me to screw in this next question. But players getting paid, can you comment on this, or is that something you can't even comment on? Or are you guys even talking about it? Can you say something about that?
Well, that's going to be a decision that's way above my pay grade or my
sure.
That's going to be up to the NCAA athletic directors, administrators, and I'm sure I know that obviously some of the head coaches are going to have a big say in it. And for me, the thing that I kind of have a unique situation where I've bounced back and forth and had a little bit of experience in the NFL and also in college, and then back and forth again. So I think guys kind of, once they are in the NFL, it's hard for them to get a college job because they don't have that recruiting experience. Or on the flip side, it's hard to get for a college guy to get an NFL job if they don't have that type of experience. The one thing that I really took away, and people ask me what's it like dealing with the guys that make millions of dollars, and sometimes those egos will go with it and all that stuff. As a coach, if you're not cheating the game and you're putting in the work and you know what you're talking about and you can help a guy become a better player, whether he's getting paid or he's not getting paid, they're going to respect and listen to you. So that's a piece that I'm going to be able to keep in my pocket, whether guys get paid or don't get paid or whatever it is. I'm going to coach the guys hard and make sure that they know I care about getting them to be the best players they can be. That's why I signed up to do this in the first place.
Got a couple minutes left here, Doss. Quick, I don't know if you got any spring ball in at all. How much of a factor is it going to be without having any, and what are your expectations for the fall?
Well, the time, we just talked about this fan base in Nebraska, and the time is always now, and you have to win. This is the Big Ten, I think, certainly one of the best college football leagues in the country, and you have to get out there and you have to perform. We got two practices in, and they were both in helmets and shorts, so it wasn't real physical or anything like that, and mostly getting lined up and those type of things. So we missed that, and also it's a factor too with the teams that when you don't go to a bowl game. So minus a bowl game, minus spring ball, and a team that's really really young, competing in a conference or a league that you have to be old and strong and tough and experienced and smart and going against a bunch of really great coaches, you got to have all those things. So it's going to put a lot on us to get accelerated. And those Zoom meetings, one of the things I kind of really pressed with my guys, like, hey, when this thing gets back on, we're not going out there with training wheels. We are hitting that thing. We better be humming. And no one's going to care or look for excuses when the whistle blows and the ball's kicked off. In the fall, no one's going to be worried about how many practices you had or you didn't have. They're going to practice on whether or not you get better, whether or not you've improved, and what kind of product you're putting on the field. So, and the tape never goes away. So when, for these guys, their time's ticking. You're only going to get a certain amount of shots, so they have to be ready to play, got to be ready to go.
Hey, Coach, thanks a lot. Before we go real quick, Coach Frost still a rock star out there?
Say that again, Coach.
Coach Frost still a rock star out there?
Coach Frost, a rock star no matter where he goes. I've been all over the country with him, and he never stops being a rock star. He's awesome. So I'm real happy to be back with him, and look forward to being with him for a long time.
Well, make sure you tell him I said hi and happy birthday.
We'll do.
Hey, Coach, thank you so much for taking the time. We'll talk to you later on down the line, okay, buddy?
Yeah, it's great talking to you guys. Thanks a lot for having me.
Zoom you later.
There it is, the Coach's Corner with the Diehards. Mike Dawson, the assistant coach, linebackers coach for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Quick TO, when we come back, we'll switch gears. We'll talk MLB with former MLB player Jeff Fry. Joins the Diehards next on the Progressive Guest Line. It is SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Welcome back to the Diehards. When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you, Linehan, at curbside. Yep, they'll do that. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35.
That's like 12 spark plugs and a muffler delivered, please.
Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. I love that coach's segment because you can tell the coaches, Linehan, that we're getting on. They're real. They're down to earth. I was a little nervous asking them about the paid comments. I'm not even sure they can answer that question legally.
You're like, afraid to answer anything.
It's tough to answer that question when some people want it, some people don't. He could say, you know what, they should be paid, and then he can't say that. I get it.
Yeah.
But
he's a good guy. He's the epitome of the coaching lifestyle, like he talked about having his young son. His wife is, they're from Massachusetts guys. And he had coached at BC, coached at Akron, was at UNH. Just off the top of my head, I can name places he was at.
Do you think his son had some cool gear at his school? There's no doubt he walks into school with his Nebraska shirt and hat on.
Kid was, when they were here, big Red Sox thing, I'd take care of him with some Red Sox stuff. And, like you said, you felt bad for the kid when he had to move from Disney, where he was playing.
Where he had all the passes.
Not only that, but playing Little League in February.
Yep.
Then moving to, everywhere that he's been, it's just been all over the place. But I think Nebraska's the place he's going to stay for a while. I don't think Coach Frost is going anywhere. One thing about Coach Frost is that he's very good to his staff.
Isn't it hard though, Linehan? And you know all these coaches that we've had on for weeks here, and a bunch of them. Isn't it hard on families though, being the family of a coach, where they're moving cross country, they're moving all the time, they're looking for that next gig. I mean, it's part of the business.
Well, it's not even necessarily you're looking for that next gig.
You understand what I'm saying?
I agree with you. The same point that sometimes you sign up for a job and look at Coach Dawson last year, signs up to coach for the Giants with Pat Shurmur.
Yep.
Pat Shurmur gets fired. The whole staff goes. You know what I mean? You could be the best assistant coach in the league, but once the head knocker goes, you're gone, And you talk about the moving aspect. I mean, Coach Dawson, his wife Jody, they went from, five cities in 4 years, whatever it was. You know what I mean? And they were
seven homes in 8 years, something ridiculous.
And when I was speaking to him earlier today, he was telling me about how they're just in the transition of moving from New Jersey, where he was with the Giants, to Nebraska. And for the first 5 weeks of the quarantine lockdown, his kid, he was locked down, a 12-year-old kid in New Jersey, where it was, the worst place around to be locked down. Now they get to go to Nebraska where the kid can run around. I don't think anybody's sick in Nebraska.
How do you think the house from New Jersey to Nebraska was? What do you think that transition was like?
I think he's got a lot more. I think he's got a little bit more room to run around in Lincoln.
Linehan, talking to all these coaches the last few weeks and getting their overall take on, being a coach.
Yep.
In 2020 and what that entails. It's like you make the joke, how's your Zoom game and understanding that and recruiting and talking to your players, and it's a different world.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, especially now with, your texting and, with players and the rules and when you can talk and when you can't talk and, whether they just extended the quiet period so coaches can't go on the road. But, I think as long as everybody plays by the same rules.
Yep.
I think that, it is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I think that we're at a place like Nebraska. It's different where it's, you know, the pressure's getting on to win.
No, it's again, Linehan, you know, talking to these guys and, yep. and you know, it was interesting to hear, you know, UNH coach, you know, again, that's very different than Nebraska.
Yeah.
They still have the same grind mentality when you're talking to a coach. And you can tell that these coaches
We said it when we got off the air with Coach Dawson just now. They always bring the energy. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, you don't have to worry. You know, we get some guests sometimes and you just wonder, you know, when are they going to do anything? But, you know, you come right out throwing heat right away. And, you know, it's just their lifestyle. They're used to just dealing with people and they – you know, you think about it. You basically fly around the country trying to convince a 17-year-old kid to spend 4 years of his life with you, you know, playing football.
Yep.
Keep him guessing.
You're listening to the Diehards here on SB Nation Radio. We're trying to track down Jeff Fry. Just
Where is he?
Having some phone issues, but I think we got him here. So we're going to get him in hopefully a couple minutes here. And what we'll do is when we have to take a quick break, we'll turn him on to the next segment and then cut out, and we'll get Dr. Football after that.
Absolutely.
You know, to talk to a major leaguer who see you know, what
he's
doing.
I want him to talk about my swing angle.
What he's doing nowadays. He's also a sports agent. Curious to get his take on, does he believe baseball is coming back?
Yep.
Linehan, you just read a statement saying, doesn't look good.
Yeah, I don't get it. I won't believe it till it's official. I just think there's a lot of posturing going on.
All right, let's hop right to the Progressive Guest Line. Let's get to the Progressive Guest Line. Make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Progressive.com. Joining us, former major leaguer for the Texas Rangers, Boston Red Sox, Toronto Blue Jays, Colorado Rockies. Played all of part of eight seasons, 92 to 2001. Jeff Fry's on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to SB Nation Radio. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, fellas. I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, appreciate you getting on here, and we have a few minutes here. And what we'll do is hopefully you can hang on the break, and we'll take a quick break in a few minutes and then bring you back because we have a lot to ask you. Okay, buddy?
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So first of all, we were just asking the question because we know that the players' union and MLB, that they're far apart and possibly getting a season going. What is your overall take? Are we going to see baseball in 2020?
Man, I'll be honest, I'm not very optimistic.
Yep.
What's transpired this week is definitely not a positive, and I think it's a bad look for our game, and I think it's, you know, bad look for the owners, bad look for the players, and that hopefully we can get some type of season out of this year, and you know, the fans can forgive us for our discord.
What will happen, Jeff, though, if the season does not happen? How bad will it be for the game?
I think it will be terrible for the game. I think it will be terrible. Basically, I think the way most people will look at it is if you got billionaires fighting with millionaires and they can't come to a solution, and all the struggles that everybody in the United States and the world, for that matter, are going through right now, they're probably not going to be very sympathetic about it.
Jeff, when you were a player, if this kind of thing went down, how would you handle it as far as, you know, if you had to go somewhere when one of the original plans was to pretty much be sequestered? I mean, how are people's families and stuff like that going to deal with that kind of thing?
That's tough, man, because, I mean, I remember when we went through the strike in 94, and I was, you know, pretty new to the league, so I didn't have a whole lot to say. You know, I basically just went and got another job in the off season, but you know, back then the salaries weren't even close to what they are nowadays.
What'd you do?
Funny. I went and worked at a local car dealership, and actually,
there you go.
Yeah, the lady who handled their PR and marketing heard me on the radio and called up the radio station and said, "We'll offer him a job right now." So I wasn't selling cars, but I was going in. And hanging out at the dealership, and when customers would come in,
that's awesome.
You know, sign autographs and talk to them and stuff. It was pretty fun.
Well, just think, after this tonight, you might be selling Buicks in the morning.
Who knows, man? Can we give everybody my number? No.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jeff, Mark Linehan here has a tidbit for you.
Hey, Jeff, I was looking up 99 Red Sox, one of my favorite teams, except for the ending, obviously, with Pedro. And I don't imagine if you knew what you were doing 21 years ago tonight.
30 seconds, by the way, here.
We'll save it for when we come back.
You want it? You want
How's that?
To,
yeah,
that's
it's a
tease?
Good story, yeah.
All right,
don't mind, Jeff.
Jeff, we want to have you hang tight. We're going to come back with the 21 years ago?
Yeah, tonight, yeah.
21 years ago tonight, we have a tidbit from Jeff Fry and what he was doing.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff.
I don't know about after the game, but I can tell you what he did during it.
He is Mark Linehan. My name is Anthony Pepe. You're listening to the Diehards. We continue with Jeff Fry, former big leaguer, coming up. Continues next, I should say, here on SB Nation Radio.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
All right, we are 20 minutes south of Fenway Park here in Beantown.
Where I was 21 years ago.
On the Progressive Guest Line used to play, and you were there 21 years ago at the famous Baseball Tavern in Fenway Park.
Yeah, I wonder if he ended up at the Baseball Tavern after the game, Jeff. I might have overserved you. But 21 years ago tonight,
Jeff Fry was doing what?
He was going 2-for-4 and stealing home.
What?
In a game of Pedro Martinez versus Tommy Glavine.
All right.
Pedro struck out 16. Jeff went 2-for-4, 2 RBIs, stole home. And the best part was the game was 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Do you remember this game, Jeff?
Oh, like it was yesterday. You know
I hear you. Are you still that fast?
No, I was never really that fast. I don't know. Maybe I must have been going on a pass ball or something. I'm not sure. I didn't really steal home. I tried stealing home in the minor leagues and ran in. The catcher had the ball 10 feet before I got home, and I ran over him, and we had a brawl. So,
hey, Jeff, you played for Texas, the Red Sox here in Boston, Toronto Blue Jays in Colorado. Did you have a favorite team and a favorite fan base?
Oh, I wouldn't be on the show if the Red Sox weren't my favorite.
Duh.
No, definitely my time in Boston was the highlight of my career, no question.
What was that 99 team like with Pedro? We're both big Pedro guys here.
The best
that
ever.
Year was just unbelievable. It was, you know, remember the All-Star game just blowing
every
people
time
away?
He was out there, it was an event. I was working for the flagship WEI, and I was the one with the team handing out those Pedro K cards. And every event, every game was an event.
Was that the best year you've ever seen from a pitcher?
Yeah, that was incredible. I still remember many games where I'm at second base looking over at Nomar, and we're like giving the signs. You know, we hold our gloves up to give the sign who's covering second base. And Nomar would be yawning. And I'm like, what are you doing? Nomar. He's like, and we just keep looking around at all the Ks. He goes, dude, that's 15 Ks. We're like standing out there as spectators.
That is awesome.
Yeah, Pedro had that year, unbelievable. I remember that night was, you know, it seems like 100 years ago, obviously. But
what was he like in the clubhouse is what I want to know.
Yeah.
Oh, he was rough. He was very loud and very – we wanted Pedro on the field playing, pitching, because when he wasn't there, he was a huge distraction. He'd have conversations from the dugout with a shortstop of the other team in Spanish. We were like, what are they saying to each other? It's like, you remember the one time they taped him up to the pole in the dugout?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's because we couldn't get him to shut up.
That is awesome.
I love Pedro. Awesome guy, man.
Talk a little bit now what you're up to these days.
Well, I've been a sports agent for 18 years, still representing some clients and getting ready for the draft. And then I guess about 3 months ago, I started making some silly videos in my backyard. And the She Gone movement is rolling now, trying to get our game back to where, you know, it used to be. I think the game is in bad shape right now.
How is the lack of minor league ball, lack of college ball, affecting any potential clients you have in the draft? Is it are some of them going to move up, or are some of them going to get screwed out of this deal? Double.
I don't think anybody knows for sure, but we're going from 40 rounds to 5, can't be good.
Yep.
And you know, so many kids are kind of in limbo right now, not sure, because a lot of times going into the draft, unless you're one of the top 200 kids in the country, you don't know. You might not even get drafted. If your dollar amount you're asking for is above what people value your abilities, you're not going to get drafted. It's not like it used to be where you'd get drafted and then the team would try and negotiate. Now with the slotting system, I mean, they have to know before they pick you if you're going to sign 100% or they're not going to waste a pick on you and potentially lose that slot value.
With that limited amount of rounds in the draft and that many more free agents, would that help somebody like yourself for the more potential clients for you?
It's, you know, the thing about, you know, being an agent is when you have, you know, a bunch of guys in the minor leagues that, you know, require equipment, shoes, gloves, bats all year long. I mean, once you get too many of those guys, it's tough. And then once they become prospects or get to the big leagues, that's when, you know, the Scott Borses of the world come knocking on their door and say, "Hey, you've outgrown this guy." So it's kind of a messed up system, to be honest.
Real quick, wrap it up. What percentage of your clients do you end up losing money on?
Oh,
37.6.
Exactly. 37.6. No, I mean, probably 4% of the guys that get drafted make the big leagues.
Yeah, exactly.
And until they get to arbitration or free agency, you don't make any money off except for their signing, a small percentage of their signing bonus.
Hey, Jeff, final thoughts here. We got about a minute left here. Most important question of the interview, how do we get our gear? Hashtag She Gone.
She Gone, baby. www.shegonehitting.com. It's been pretty amazing so far how many people have bought into this. And, you know, the whole idea of the She Gone movement is not to make money. It's to promote our game and get back to the grassroots of our game and, you know, the way we played when we were kids and not some gimmicky launch angle tees and some of the stuff that some of these people are teaching kids.
Hey, Jeff, before we let you go, you hit 290, 16 home runs, 194 RBI in your career. Do you have your most memorable home run?
My most memorable home run was my walk-off home run off Mike Trombley the night that Darren Lewis and I hit back-to-back home runs in the bottom of the ninth at Fenway. That's more memorable than when I hit for the cycle in my mind.
Awesome.
How about stealing home?
21 years ago.
I did that all the time.
Hey, Jeff, keep up the great work. We follow you on Facebook, and we'll get you on later on down the line. You can be like our MLB expert if the season ever comes back.
Heck yeah, man. I'm on board, boys, and I appreciate you having me on, and you guys be safe.
Thanks, Jeff. Man. There he is, former big leaguer Jeff Fry joining us
here on the
Progressive Guest Line, former Red Sox, and again, 21 years ago, stole home. So we're going to track down Dr. Football. He is on the line, actually, right now, so let's get right to it.
Doc's always in the bullpen,
again,
long toss.
Baseball, football, boom, here we go. On the Progressive Guest Line, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote, progressive.com today. Mr. John Serenitas, Dr. Football. Sorry we had to bump you for Jeff Fry, but...
You didn't steal home.
You did not steal home, no.
Well, hey, no, listen, it's an honor to be bumped for a former Red Sox, so no problem here.
Hey, Doc, we're not going to get too political, we're not going to get too serious, but how good was Colin Kaepernick as a player? What was his ceiling, and could he play now?
Well, I thought he was really good at Nevada, and I thought he was really good
running that pistol offense,
as the starting quarterback of the 49ers. Could he play now? Well, I think so much of his game was predicated on what a team like Baltimore does. Now, Greg Roman was his offensive coordinator with the 49ers, so a lot of it was the zone read and the read it and pull it stuff. And I'm not sure he can do that now at this age. Could he potentially be a backup in the league now? Yeah, but I think it's pushing it. He's been out of football so long now that even if he got an opportunity, I'm not sure how effective he would be, even as a backup at this point, again, given the amount of time that he's been out of the league.
Yeah, people forget, too, his last year in the league, I'm pretty sure before he played that season, he had either shoulder, elbow, and knee, two of those three operations all on his throwing side. So, I mean, that's not something you take 3 years off from and make a comeback.
Yeah, no, and that's just it. And look, I know people want to say that he got screwed over and that he should have a job in the league. And it's obviously, it's something that's a very divisive topic. But the reality is there was a lot of regression there the last couple of years of his career in the league. And, Mark, you would know. I mean, Chip Kelly coached him in San Francisco.
Chip liked him.
He wasn't the same player. He wasn't the same player that he was in 2012 and 2013. So, look. Should he still be in the league? I mean, it depends who you ask. I just think from a starting quarterback standpoint, given what his strengths were, I don't think he can do that in the league right now at his age. So at the most, he's a backup. And even then, again, it's hard to say how effective he would be because he's been out of football for over 3 years now.
Hey, Doc, we hear the NBA maybe coming back. I know they voted 29-1, but it could be a bad product. You are Dr. Football, so let's talk about the pigskin. If the NFL comes back or when it comes back, what type of product do you expect if there's no training camps and no teams playing together and no chemistry? What are you expecting from the product?
Well, I think the product will suffer, particularly on offense. I think defenses will be okay because defense usually gets off to a faster start, especially in camp at the start of the season. It's easier to install your defense and run it. Offense is more timing. There's different personnel groupings. There's more that's involved there in terms of the entire 11-man unit operating. So I think offenses are going to get out of the gate slowly. I think it's going to be a defensive league, and I think you're going to see some philosophical shifts where I think you're going to see coaches run the football and try to play good defense and keep games close early on until offenses catch up. But at the beginning of the season, with no OTAs, no minicamps, and a reduced training camp or no preseason, I think offenses are going to struggle out of the gate.
Yeah, I'll take it a step further. We just had on Mike Dawson, who's a linebackers coach at Nebraska, a local guy from around here, a friend of mine. We were talking to him about recruiting and, you know, missing spring ball and camps and stuff that you and I have talked about in the past. But is there an opportunity here for a kid that, you know, you're pretty connected at the high school level, for a kid to maybe step up his game and get noticed somehow as far as, you know, working out harder than anybody else in the offseason? I don't know how you pull it off, you know, whether his huddle tape is going to be anything good or, you know, is there an advantage anywhere there to be found?
Oh, sure. I think if you're a player who may not have been projecting as a starter or may have been a backup, you could position yourself to end up in a starting role. I mean, again, I think it's going to come down to how much work you put in the offseason. And because this was such a unique offseason where you didn't have strength programs, you didn't have access to weight rooms, the guys that put in the time and were creative during this time and stayed in shape, those are the guys that I think, whether it be even in the NFL, whether it be in the NFL, college, or high school, I think those are going to be the guys that are going to end up creating opportunity for themselves because they're going to come into camp in shape and they're going to come in ready to go. So if you took advantage of this lockdown and stayed in shape and did what you needed to do, if you were a fringe starter or a backup, you might position yourself to potentially start now because you committed yourself and you rode this out as the offseason went on.
Yeah, I'll take it a step further. We had Coach Sean McDonald, UNH, on a couple of weeks ago. He talked about how the early signing period now has been an advantage and a boon to the FCS teams because they pretty much know who their pool of candidates is a little bit more once the big boys have signed kids.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And what ends up happening now puts you in a position where if there's, you know, a player who's not necessarily getting the love, if you will, from FBS programs, if they're a fringe FBS, FCS kid, if they have an opportunity to play sooner or play right away, they may pick your school over a lower-tier FBS school because they have a chance to get on the field and compete for a starting job and possibly be a multi-year starter, and that could potentially help them down the road with an NFL career. So, absolutely, I think it's helped the FCS schools immensely.
Quote by Save on Home Insurance with Progressive's new home quote, Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Doc, we got about 2 minutes left here. X's and O question.
See, that's Jeff Fry's fault, okay? I need those 2 minutes back, Mel Fry.
Should have stolen home, son.
Kidding me? You kidding me? I could hit it into the stands, and I still would get thrown out at
first. Hey, my motto's first to third on a triple.
There you go. Hey, Doc, talk quickly about Cincinnati's new star, new hero, Joe Burrows. What's his biggest weakness?
Well, I think his biggest weakness is going to be adjusting to the National Football League. I mean, he's got the pocket presence, the arm strength, but I think it's going to be adjusting to the speed of the game because he has a good arm, but he doesn't have plus vertical arm strength. I think that that is going to show early on. So I think if Zach Taylor and that offensive staff can find a way to play to his strength, not put him in a position where he has to make big play throws down the field, and the way you avoid that is to add a second and long and third long, I think he'll be fine. But I think physically and in terms of his makeup, the kid could be a future star and a top 10 quarterback in this league, if not top five.
Doc, what's the latest you hear? And we're going to have high school football in the fall. We're going to have high school in the fall.
You know what? I'm still saying I think we are. I still think it's a 50-50 proposition. But, yeah, I still think we are. I mean, when you look at the direction that states are moving in right now, Texas, for example, just announced today that they're going to allow stadiums to be filled to 50% capacity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're going to have high school football, but I think it's going to look different than what we're used to.
Hey, Doc, great stuff as always. Keep up the good work, and I will talk to you tomorrow night with the new Die Hard show on Friday nights.
Die Hard's Light, I'm calling it.
All right, sounds good, my man. I'll talk to you guys later.
There he is, Thanks, Sean Serenitas, Dr. Football. Final TO. We'll come back and wrap things up. Linehan needs to finish his drink. It is SB Nation Radio, the Diehards.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Once again, thanks to all our guests on the Progressive Guest Line tonight. Rick
Coro, a good one tonight,
the sports professor.
Professor.
Ian Thompson, author of the great book, one of the most brilliant books of all time, The Soul of Basketball.
Yeah.
Our coach on the Diehards Coaches Corner, Mike Dawson, the assistant coach for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, also the linebackers coach. Jeff Fry, former big leaguer and Dr. Football. And exciting news, Linehan. Diehards are going to be on Friday nights.
Diehard Lights.
Diehard Lights. But you'll be on, too. We'll figure
it
out.
It'll be Diehard Varsity.
I'm just not sure when you're going to come on because I know you're so busy on Friday
nights. Yeah, I am holding out. I'm like the baseball.
I know.
Like MLB.
I'm trying to get you to sign the contract, but it's tough.
Don't worry. I got my million-dollar idea.
You're losing money, too. So what is your million-dollar idea? Go.
I'm copywriting signs. Going out of business. Apparently every bar in Boston is going to need to buy one next week.
So you think you can copyright that?
Yep. Going out of business. B-I-D.
Okay.
Business. Going out of.
So you trademarked that.
Yes, I did. Going out of business. Hang them up in your front yard, Boston.
How do you spell that again?
B-I-D-ness. Business.
So going out of business. Sam,
going out of.
Out
of. One word. O-U-T-O.
All right.
Out of business.
I got to get the out of here.
Yeah, me too. See you later. Thanks for playing.
Hey, Andrew Carlson, running
Thanks,
rock
Andrew.
And roll
nice
control
job,
in Houston. You're the best, buddy. I'll talk to you
Go
again
to
tomorrow night.
Go to a bar for us that's open.
Lenihan's got a hot day tomorrow night, so he won't join us.
Yeah. He's gone.
I'll be joined with... From WEI's Patrick Gilroy tomorrow night. Thank you for listening. Tony Bruno's up next.